you're here. Delicious, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's Monday, Marianne.
Yeah, it is.
Which means we're going to do a reading from our beloved book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. In fact, it looks like we're going to read Jesus dealt with daily pressures in his daily prayer time. Jesus faced crushing pressures on his knees, and maybe we'll be able to finish up with cry for help. But we appreciate this book, I guess about a year's worth of many readings on Monday. And we'd still have a few copies at our Springfield and Champaign locations, $10, so you can't get it any cheaper or anywhere else, but I highly recommend it. And I think as we continue to journey through this emphasis on prayer, it's hopefully encouraging people to not only pray, but see the practicality of it, see the power in it,
you know,
practice it, the benefit. Yeah, it's kind of funny when we read that one chapter on practicing prayer, it seems like, how do you practice it? But you really have to do it.
Yeah.
But it's not just doing it or practicing it. It's that relationship that you're building with the sovereign creator, Father God, Almighty One, the creator of the universe, that we get to dialogue, we get to build that relationship. So,
I don't know.
We recommend prayer. And in fact, this Thursday night...
We recommend prayer.
Yeah, this Thursday night we're having our prayer gathering, and it'll be the fourth time we've met. It began with 16 and then jumped to like 21 or 24, then over 30. So this time, this Thursday night, we're going to have a meal at 6:30. So it's So Chow and Holly Burns. They're going to put together some things. It's going to be that bulgogi.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
good.
South Korean beef.
That's very
good. But I think
they're
doing individual little things, so everyone will get either a bulgogi sandwich or...
bulgogi
and rice and some other fix-ins. So it'll be a light dinner, but that'll be 6:30 to 7, and then right at 7 we'll begin our time of worship and then building community and then seeking God for what he's up to in this area. But
excellent.
Yeah, it seems like it's grown, and we're excited about the times of prayer. I think we now represent 30 different churches.
Wow.
So a real special group of different styles in how people pray.
Yeah,
and
I bet.
That's not only interesting, but I think it builds community, because whether somebody prays with their hands open or up in the air or folded, or they pray very, if you will, sincerely, where others pray very passionately and get really fired up, to everything in between. So it's been, I don't want to say fascinating, it's been just a great blessing.
Invigorating. I mean, I think that's breaking down, things like that break down barriers that should never have been there in the first place.
Right.
Everybody in that group is praying.
Right. Yeah, that's the commonality. And that's, I think, what has made this group a little different, is we really get down to prayer right away.
That's
after
so important.
Praising and worshiping God.
Yeah.
And so it's not one of those prayer gatherings where you talk about prayer, you teach about prayer, you read about prayer. Oh, wow, we have 4 minutes left. Let's close out in prayer.
I've been to prayer breakfast. It's nothing against anybody. It's easy to slip into, but I've been to prayer breakfast where there's a teaching and there's worship and there's somebody talking about it. And then there's like, I don't know, 8 minutes left for prayer. And I'm like, that's not really a prayer breakfast.
Yeah, I've been there. But yeah, this has been nice. Mike Crosta has kind of helped facilitate the time, and he's very clear and concise. And,
he is a clear speaker.
Oh, I so appreciate what he's done for this group, and I'll do some introductory remarks and welcomes, but he says, let's get down to business, and this group is not to pray like for grandmother who has a kidney stone or for what's going on in Ukraine. Those things are all important,
yes,
and maybe there'll be times to pray for that. But right now we're entering a time of just worshiping God, praising him, and let's keep our individual personal prayer requests to the side, because this is what we're going to focus on. So we'll have a time of very focused worship and then prayer, and then there might be scripture read or somebody comments. And it's just been really powerful, and I've met a lot of new friends. In fact, I'm going to have a number of Testimony Tuesdays from people that have attended. But this week we felt like let's have a meal like a half hour beforehand for those that can make it, mm-hmm. because that'll allow there to be some community building and getting to know each other.
So it starts at 6:30.
Yeah, 6:30 sharp. Yeah. We'll have these burgergi sandwiches. Or
I hope you're saying that right.
Ice. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I've had them. They're delicious. Oh. I just don't know how to say it.
Oh, it's so tasty. And Sue, who has provided a meal some time ago for a group gathering I was a part of, I was like, I love it. It's really thin
cut
beef. And
people go to Korean restaurants sometimes just to get that.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
But we'll have some other fixings, but that'll be at 6:30. You need to RSVP. And this is for people that are real passionate about souls being saved, God being at work.
Gathering for a purpose.
Yeah, very intentional. And then we pray, and it's a lot of time spent in prayer. So if you're interested or want to know more, give the station a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of the regulars, they said, hey, I can't make it for the dinner, but I'll be there at 7 o'clock.
So, yeah.
So it's just something we wanted to add to build a little more time to get to know each other. Because, like I said, these 30 different churches, it's really wonderful.
Something.
And it represents just a lot of different cultures and life experiences and people that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
That's just so good.
Yeah, so that has got great segue into talking about prayer and reading about prayer from our book by Dave Early. So I think that's all I have to say other than it's Monday, September 20th, 2022.
Oh, no, did we forget that?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
I don't think that this is the first time I haven't caught that you didn't. Say that.
I think I got on my own tangent.
I love that when you say that.
Yeah, so it's Monday,
September. Let us exalt the Lord together.
Yes, that's a great verse and kind of the catalyst for launching Mark and Friends is just us to grow together, to learn together, to fellowship one with another. And then always, I guess it's been a few years now, I always start out with a scripture verse.
Yeah.
And we'll read about Mark 1:35 in the readings that you're about to do. But yeah, nothing can replace God's Word and the fact that we have the privilege of proclaiming it, teaching it, talking
about it. Absolutely. And so many people have been interviewed, so many people around a broad area and even from around the nation, and for people that might be new to Mark and Friends, you are in for a treat. There's a lot of good guests.
And I'm working on a special testimony Tuesday tomorrow with two friends, and so we'll see if we can pull that all off. But testimony Tuesday is always a great time to hear somebody's faith journey and life story, and that should be the case tomorrow.
Excellent.
Okay.
All right, we're going to read. We're on page 75 for those who are following along. Jesus dealt with daily pressures in his daily prayer time. As we studied in chapter 2, Jesus turned the daily pressures of high-octane ministry into daily morning prayer. Quote, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 1:35. Please note that Jesus did not simply enjoy a pleasant early morning time of prayer and then go back to bed. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus used his morning season of prayer as the launching pad for another full day of ministry. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Mark 1:36-39. In reflecting on what this daily prayer time meant to Jesus, S.D. Gordon observed, "Prayer wonderfully clears the vision, steadies the nerves, defines duty, stiffens the purpose, sweetens and strengthens the spirit. The busier the day for him, the more surely must the morning appointment be kept, and an even earlier start made." Apparently.
You're right, Mary Ann. As you're reading this,
I think
last week was Labor Day and had a special program, so it was a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, we did.
But some of this is like ringing a bell because we laughed about, you know, early in the morning.
Yeah, and I said, I get up really early and pray and sometimes do lay back down.
Yeah, and then I think
So like, where are we at?
Well, so this next section will be new, but
okay.
This must be like what Karen has often said, if there's a re-airing of the Mark and Friends program or a glitch and something is repeated.
Maybe just
supposed
to hear it.
If it was good enough to say once, it's good enough to say twice.
That's true, too.
And this can be a great reminder. In fact, as you were reading, I'm like, yeah, this is familiar, but I must not have remembered it exactly.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Why I said, let's start here. So
okay. Jesus faced crushing pressure on his knees. No human ever had to deal with more pressure than Jesus Christ. He had to live a life and die a death that would ultimately save the world from sin. The greatest tension Jesus faced surrounded his crucifixion. It loomed before him. For a year, he had repeatedly predicted his crucifixion. And there's all the scriptures where that's the case.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
The horrors awaiting him on the cross stretched out before him. He realized he would soon be arrested, tried, beaten, and killed. He knew he was about to experience some of the greatest physical torture available in the first century. On top of that would be the emotional anguish of being betrayed by his disciples, abandoned by his friends, scorned by the religious leaders, and rejected by the crowd. Yet most awful of all, Jesus realized he was about to face a nightmare worse than any human had ever or would ever endure. The sinless Son of God, for the first time in eternity, would experience sin.
And I was thinking it was going to say the fact that God, you know, had to turn his face away from him. I mean, that other despair of not having that relationship, that intimacy with Almighty Sovereign God. I think most of us just can't even fathom the weightiness of how hard that would have been. I mean, the pain, the suffering, when we go through that Maundy Thursday service. Yeah. Dr. Webb always does a great teaching on that.
Does the Bible say that God turned his face away, or is it just Jesus felt that way when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Maybe that's just the teaching that he turned.
I don't know.
Or darkness covered.
I don't know. I need to look that up. Because I'm not saying all those other people are wrong.
I just think that.
But that'd be awful.
Turned his face away or just can't look on sin.
Yeah.
I think the enormity of all sin, of all mankind for all time, the weight, the anguish, the separation that would create from God, we'll never be able to fathom. I think we'll have all eternity to just worship him every day saying, thank you for doing that on
our
behalf.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, thank you. Imagine all the sins of all the people of all time were to be poured out on him.
Yeah, right there.
This is what you said.
Yeah.
Beyond that, as the worst sinner ever, Jesus would face the righteous wrath and just judgment of God, his Father, as the sin was punished. In the awful hours after the Last Supper and just prior to his arrest, the emotions he endured were overwhelming. Ironically and symbolically, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to a place called Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means the oil press, as large wooden presses were used to crush the oil from the olives. In a similar way, Jesus faced the crushing pressure of his looming crucifixion. How did Jesus deal with such intense stress and pressure? He turned it into prayer.
Yeah, let's pause there just for a second as we think about that. If Jesus turned to prayer during intense times of stress and pressure, how much more do we need to do that and be cognizant, be aware, have that as a practice that before we respond, react, you know, throw a temper tantrum, get angry or whatever, have we prayed it up? Have we really sought after God for answer or clarity or just to pause and recognize that we have a different timetable. We want something now or answered or clarity, and we have to be patient, and many of us, don't want to be patient.
That's really good, Mark. It's true. And here's a quote from Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood. Drops of blood falling to the ground. That whole passage was Luke 22:39 through 44. I doubt that any of us can grasp the extent of what Jesus endured. The stress of what he was facing resulted in sweat like drops of blood dripping from his forehead. How did he survive it? He knelt down and prayed. If Jesus felt the need to turn his crushing pressures and problems into prayer, how much more should you and I? Do we have time for this last little section? Okay. It says, cry for help. David was also a leader who dealt with immense pressure. As a young man, he faced a murderous giant, literally. Then, when all seemed to be going well, he was nearly killed by his king and was forced to flee his home and family, spending years as a fugitive, the most hunted man in the history of Israel.
I'll jump in here again. You know, as I read through the Psalms many times, you know, I love the Psalms and I love so much that's communicated through them, but I often think, I can't relate with people chasing after me to kill me, wondering every day you're out in the desert in a cave how you're going to eat, but that people, you know, people turned on them, people hated them.
I know.
And I'm thinking, gosh, I and many of us have had it so easy. We've never cried out to God, everyone's against me, they're trying to pursue me, they're trying to kill me. Most of us can't identify with that. And I think we've had it so easy. And maybe some of the depth of David's growth is because through those refining fires, he had to totally surrender and commit to following God. And
that's true.
I don't know. Just so oftentimes when we read, we can just pass over those things and not even think about it.
Yeah.
But I think David was through so much. And, you know, so many times he cried out at night. And I thought, have I ever had such a deep burden that I'm crying out and in misery over whatever, lost souls or... Yeah, I just think we got to really try to put ourselves in his shoes and recognize that we have it so easy, especially here in America.
During this time and through his early years as king, he had to repeatedly fight the barbaric Philistines. Even after being king many years, he had the embarrassing stress of being forced to abandon his throne when his own son launched a military coup against him. When you study his prayers, one thing is quite telling. David's most used prayer, by far, was not flowing and eloquent. It was short and blunt. In fact, it only encompassed one word, quote, help. Again and again, David ran to God crying for help.
Well, we have a few minutes. Maybe we'll just highlight a few of these things because there's just a lot of verses that highlight help, and maybe
long
if you're
list.
Driving along, you'll have to listen to the archive programs to write some of these down. But there's a lot of verses throughout Scripture that highlight our need for help or pleading for help or crying out for help or seeking help.
Yeah, I want to read the very final paragraph first because we may not have time for all these Scriptures. The author says, maybe you're not sure how to pray or what to say. You can always pray what David prayed. You can always cry out to God for help. And here's some of them. Psalm 5:2. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. This is from Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. This is from Psalm 18:6. In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. This is from Psalm 22:19. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me.
Yeah, I love all these.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he's crying out, you know, Lord, be not far off. Because all of us can identify times where we're lonely or feel despised or unloved or not cared for. And David, like all of us, can approach this loving God because he's the sovereign, good, gracious one.
Praise God. This is from Psalm 28:2. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Psalm 30:10. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. This is Psalm 31:22. In my alarm I said, I'm cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called out to you for help. And this is Psalm 38:22. come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior.
That's a nice, sweet, short one. You know,
yeah, I like
come
that
quickly
one.
To help me, O Lord, my Savior.
Yeah. Psalm 39:12, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping.
Yeah, there's that weeping again. I think so many of us might not be able to identify so much with the weeping, or maybe we've just not had it that bad, or maybe we've just compartmentalized. Speaking for myself, or maybe some men, we can just get into a different compartment and not maybe take to heart some of these things.
David was such a man's man, as they like to say, use that phrase, and he wept when he needed to. And this is one of my favorite verses, Psalm 40:13. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. This is Psalm 59:4. I've done no wrong, yet they're ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. Psalm 65. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. Psalm 69:3. I'm worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. Psalm 70, verse 1, hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. And this is Psalm 108:6, save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. And Psalm 109:26, help me, O Lord my God, save me in accordance with your love.
And then read again this closing, and we'll close out our program.
All right, maybe you're not sure how to pray or what to say. You can always pray what David prayed. You can always cry out to God for help.
I think that'll be the title of this program that'll be archived at greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org. It's just going to be called Help.
Help.
Help. Oh, thank you, God, that He is a gracious, loving God that cares and is compassionate and desires to help us. And cry out to Him today. Trust me, His character is good. He will look out for your best interest. It doesn't mean that whatever you're going through will just be eliminated this day. It might be through His refining fires, through special provision that He makes through others, through answering it in creative and unique ways, or just bringing you to a point that we all need to be at where we have to lean into Him, because He's the one that can provide answers or help or assistance.
Praise God.
If we know His character, and many of us do, He's good, He's gracious, He's loving. He sent Jesus, so He's done all that He needs to do and even more. Call on Him, and He will answer. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.